Okay, our next case tonight is LU14-169513DZM-AD 419 East Burnside. The applicant is Eric Winter of Meyer Group Architects. The address is 419 East Burnside Street. And Hillary Adam is our planner.
Welcome.
Hi. Hi.
Thank you. You guys ready?
Yes.
This is a design review with modification and adjustment request. It's also a major encroachment review. The site is bound by Burnside, Cooch, Grand, and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. It's zoned EXD, Central Employment with Design Overlay, Central City Plan District, and the Central Eastside Sub-District. It's right by Burnside Bridgehead. I'm sure you're fairly familiar with the site. The approval criteria are the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines and the Special Design Guidelines for the Design Zone of the Central Eastside District of the Central City Plan. Modification approval criteria and adjustment approval criteria. So the proposal is for a six-story mixed-use building with 157 residential units, two live-work units, ground floor commercial space, below-grade parking, also some at-grade parking, but contained within the building. Both are now accessed from Northeast Cooch Street. You might remember when we were back here in September, 3 months ago, there was garage access from Cooch or loading, as well as garage access from Northeast Grand, which is a parking access restricted street that required an adjustment. Since it's now been relocated to Northeast Cooch, that adjustment went away, but there is a new adjustment to reduce the number of required on-site loading spaces from 1 to 0, which PBOT is in support of. There are also two modifications to reduce the amount of ground floor windows on Cooch in both length and area, and also to reduce the dimensions of long-term bike parking spaces. One of the more notable design features is the full-length. Previously, it was two separate arcade encroachments on Burnside, but currently the new design is for a full-length 13-foot deep arcade. So quickly, I'll just go over the site plan changes. I'm sure the applicant will go into this in way more detail. But on the previous version that you can see in the inset, that yellow area along Burnside on the south, that was the residential lobby for the upper floors. You can sort of see the outline of the two separate arcades on both the left and the right there. And then the garage access around the corner at Northeast Grand. Since that has moved to Northeast Cooch on the larger site plan, it created a shift in the program, and now the residential lobby is on Northeast Grand and Burnside is lined with retail. So that created some changes in the facade. Now you can see a full arcade on Burnside, which has both solid and open areas with balconies. Sorry, it's a little dark up there on the top, but that's the previous version. And that is the Burnside facade, the longer one. And then going around the building, Burnside and Grand facades, now you can see that the there's a break on the Northeast Grand facade where previously it was just one solid wall, and there was a lot of discussion about how to break that up and add some texture. And then this is the Grand and Cooch facades. There was discussion about adding more balconies, and also you can see both garage entrances there. The applicant will explain in further detail why there are two separate garage entrances. So I am recommending full approval with the exception of one drawing that I'll show you later. but I did raise in my memo a couple of items that you might want to discuss. One is, in the previous drawing, they had composite metal wrapping the columns on Burnside. It was also suggested that metal should be applied to the garage areas where there was previously concrete. So this is sort of just to highlight this, they're proposing plate steel at these areas. Just at the ground level, and then at the upper floors, it's composite metal panel. Just where it's solid black, you can see on that drawing. You mean under the soffit, on the next to the wood?
Plate steel is on the column.
Right? Yeah, right.
So how high is it going?
I believe it goes all the way to the top. Eric, can you clarify?
Yeah.
Another issue is balcony depth. We talked about this a little bit at the last hearing. I believe it's about the same depth that it was, which is 4'8". I added that additional dimension there at the corner one. It measured to be about 3'8". We've suggested deeper balconies, and the applicant has indicated that they think that this is a more appropriate depth in an urban situation. Rooftop organization is another potential discussion topic. They have a lot of stuff going on up there, including all the mechanical units, rooftop garden, common patio, and also private patios, as well as an eco roof. So this is their preferred option. It's also my preferred option, but they did include two alternates. This is one where the private patios go away. And what's left is the common patio and also the rooftop garden and mechanical.
Can you go back and forth with me?
Yeah. And that's a perspective drawing of it up there on the upper right.
Private gardens are where?
This is the one with the private patios removed. But the common gardens, that's in the lower left, those greenish vertical lines. And this is alternate two. This is the one I am not recommending approval of. And this is just eco roof and mechanical units. An elevator and stair overruns. Why am I not recommending approval of that? There are a number of guidelines that are met with inclusion of common outdoor areas at the top, including providing view opportunities, outdoor areas, integrating the river, and also guidelines about central east side themes with the garden. So to summarize, PBOT has requested two conditions of approval. I just got those today. So if we get to that point, I can read them into the record. Staff recommends full approval with the exception of alternate two, which is the last drawing I just showed you. And your options are to accept the staff report and approve the proposal, amend the staff report and approve it with conditions of approval, or reject the staff report and deny the proposal, or we can also come back. And that's it.
Questions of Hillary? Okay, great. Then I'd like to have the applicant up, please.
Sorry, I missed some of it.
No, it's my pen.
Want to go to full screen?
Yeah.
Ready? All right. I'm Bob Wardle from Meyer Group Architects. Address is 620 Southwest 5th Avenue.
And I'm Eric Winter, Meyer Group Architects. Address 620 Southwest 5th Avenue as well.
Same office. I think before, sometimes looking forward, you have to look in the past. And this is an historic photo of about 1932. I know that because I think that's a 1931 Chrysler V70. And it shows on this site, our site's right there, a full arcade. Actually, it shows across where currently the Subaru station is, there was an arcade there. So we're proposing to bring back what was there before, a full arcade on our site. Unfortunately, we don't have one on the other side. To kind of help you follow through with the presentation, we're going to kind of keep to the same page numbers, if you can read them down below, that's in the handout, just so it's easy if you wanted to follow back. But the site, it has vehicle access on three sides, except for Cooch. We've been directed by PBOT. That is where we can only have our access to vehicles. So it's a little bit different from our last presentation. We found that out a couple days after our last DR. So we picked ourselves up and we're moving forward. This is the Part T. The diagram has been revised, obviously, to reflect the vehicle access on Cooch. It shows a full bar of retail along the arcade down below. Residential entry is on Cooch across from the streetcar line. We have two curb cuts on Cooch instead of the existing six curb cuts that surround the property. Our arcade will tie into the existing eight arcades along Burnside. The height of the arcade varies because of the slope of the site from 14 foot six to 18 foot six, and that pretty much hits the average of all the arcades that you see up there. We have a list of the actual heights off to the side. The building character kind of borrows from the surrounding context, similar building types in Portland, and our typical industrial typology. You'll see some familiar building types, especially to Ben. The radio building is a similar larger box rib that we have, exposed structural elements on the lower drawings. And you'll see that the building that we're proposing now is a little bit lighter in color, kind of ties into not only the existing building, but we've sat through the DARs and the DRs of Block 75, Block 67, and the dumbbell, and we kind of see a lighter palette being introduced. So we'll go through when we show our elevations. You'll see that it's a lighter color. It's a simpler color, too. As Hillary was talking about, we have a full-length arcade, a large continuous retail on Burnside with an 8-foot service corridor behind it. I think a good example of that is the hub building on Williams. We went there with our client. We kind of liked the similarities, the activation of that backspace. And actually, the depth of the retail is pretty much matches the same depth that you see at the hub building with Tasting Suns and Cha-Cha-Cha. So it allows us to maybe have some secondary retail access from behind. We have on this floor, besides our lobby, our residential lobby off of Cooch, we have what we believe is one of the best bike lounge areas on MLK. It was just written up yesterday in bikeportland.org. A little bit more detail, the full block arcade. The arcade actually extends 18 feet over the right-of-way along Burnside. We've also had an opportunity to talk to BES and have a cleaner, more straightforward approach on the stormwater refiguration. It doesn't go underneath the arcade now. We also had a conclusion with the PBOT and have a bulb out on the southeast corner, especially the one crossing Burnside. It's a safer pedestrian connection since there is further connections to a streetcar line and a pretty active bus stop right across on the other side, on the south side. This bulb out also allows us to have better protection for our corner column. The biggest concern PBOT had at the time was people large trucks turning, and we're concerned about taking about one the corner column, so the bulb out at least protects that. Down below, we have a revised storefront below the arcade. It's straightforward, has roll-up garage doors. It's a little bit more rhythmic. It's one of the issues that came back that was concerned at our first DR. This shows the 18-foot arcade. It provides three zones down below on the sidewalk. Obviously, the furnishing spill-out zone, since we have garage doors, we have the activate opportunity for things to spill out. We have a clear pedestrian walking zone of 8 feet, and then we have additional furniture zone, bike zone, and other character where the columns are for 6 feet. It adds up to an 18-foot zone. So the arcade, the drip line, it hits the back of the curb. We're requested by PBOT to push it out as far as possible, and this is about as far as it can go. This just kind of shows the eye level, pedestrian level, what the view would be at the southwest with some built examples to kind of give some imagery down below the garage doors and how we see this interaction, not only on, especially on our the arcade. We really see this as an opportunity to have some outdoor rooms all along that area and kind of, again, reactivating Burnside. Further pedestrian view, further up the arcade, looking down towards Burnside downtown. The lighting that we're proposing is under the arcade would be both direct down and then direct indirect lighting up the coffer ceilings. So we have an outdoor room, so it's spilling out. Direct lighting, obviously, down onto the sidewalk, but we want to illuminate not only the down area but the whole ceiling area. A little view further up Burnside as we turn the corner. We're now on Grand. Again, some imagery to kind of show how the corner would be turned and some examples of some arcades further up Burnside. This is a street view mid-block of our residential entry and lobby that would be facing on the Grand. And to the left, you can see the glass doors of the internal corridor. We saw that obviously on the hub building too, that it's inviting, it's glass. That acts as our service area, but again, we see a lot of residents using that for the bike area. A view of the northeast corner as we come around to Grand and Cooch with the live work retail opportunities as they kind of wrap the corner, and some imagery of some, especially on a day like today, some canopies for rain protection. Our view of the revised lower parking level with about 50 stalls, individual storage with the ramp coming down, access off of Cooch. Our second floor has common room, club rooms, rec rooms for the residents, along with exterior patios off the back near the CCC, Central City Concern Building, and exterior decks on the north and south side of the elevations of the building. Let's talk about the decks. Our exterior decks are 4'8". When we were here last time in September, they were 4'6". There's June, no?
4'2".
4'2", excuse me. Yeah, they're 6 inches deeper than the last DAR. And we're kind of calling them in the office urban lanais. They're large enough to kind of sit and recreate and circulate around, but the outdoor furniture, but not so large that we have to start regulating outdoor furniture issues. This is kind of showing the, excuse me, the, there we go. One more. This shows the corner condition. And we have a seasonal study of the decks when they're at 4'8". They still allow daylight, south, especially for the south-facing units during the fall and spring, and we kind of treat them more like sunscreens, and our concern of getting them too large is they're going to start blocking light, especially on not only the south side, but especially on the north side, too. So if you look at a sunscreen, it's usually around 3.5, 4, 4.5 feet. And so it's showing that little study, especially in the center where it's fall and spring, where we need some light in there. Obviously, in the winter, there's not an issue. And during the summer, we get enough blockage that it's providing shade. So we figure that that's the correct depth and we hope it doesn't get deeper than that. You know, I was kind of looking at it, it's almost like we want to kind of have a skeleton kind of fire escape kind of expression on that south side. We don't want it to make it look, I'll use the word suburban, where it's too deep and all of a sudden it's more stuff than usual that needs to happen on the deck. Our typical floor, all the units stack, including the decks. Our top floor has 8 units that have spiral stairs to a small private roof deck up above. We'll kind of outline the logic behind the roof. It's especially important because not only, as we've always talked about, the elevation, the roof is like a fifth elevation. We have a lot of tall buildings that are going to be built around us, so they're going to be looking down, so we wanted to really contain it. So our first diagram is showing the core service vehicle circulation, our 2 stairs and the elevator. The yellow shows our double stack condenser units for a small footprint. So where typically you'd see stack condenser units not stacked, we're double stacking them to kind of reduce the footprint. We have both passive and active terraces off to the side. We also have private decks for the 8 going up. Some of them are combined. We need about 6,000 square feet of green roof for our stormwater detention. And then we have a circulation spine that connects not only for our egress issues, but also for service. I think it's we have 3 diagrams that we want to show, and obviously this is our preferred diagram, but we are also in an appeal process with our friends at BDS. Maybe they're on the same floor as you. So we're dealing with, obviously, our plans examiner, the fire department, and others. So it's like this. You work with someone, you come up with a strategy, and then you propose it, and they come back. So we have had great, for the last 9 months, great conversations with them, but now we're kind of coming to council with them, too. So, Eric, you want to talk a little bit about the process we're in?
Yeah, we're currently in negotiations with the fire marshal and the building officials to figure out, you know, confirm the areas that we had been told over the last 9 months that we can't have. Some of their criteria has changed over the last 9 months. Their interpretations have changed a little bit. But we think that we have a path to get to where we want in this. Everybody on our team wants to achieve this, but it's ultimately going to be in the hands of the fire marshal and BDS to decide if we can do this or not. So this is where we want to end up, but we wanted to show 2 other options in the event that we can't get there from a life safety perspective.
Yeah, this is obviously an ongoing conversation. Even when we were sitting back here in the first presentation, we were getting text messages from the plans examiner saying, can you come in a foot here? Can you do this there? So we're just having a hard time understanding how we can be conditioned on something we don't have control on when it's actually probably on the same floor that, you know, it's a BDS issue. But what we're showing is we had to go to them with a concept. We didn't want to provide something without you seeing it. And then we've also, through indications, what could be the worst-case scenario. So our best case is to have everything that we're showing here with active common spaces for our urban garden, activity for the units, and then the private decks. And a little larger blow-up of that is the larger view showing the kind of resident terraces, the active area with the barbecue, fire pit areas, and then the more passive areas with the urban garden area. And just for code reasons, we're classifying that as a lower occupancy than the active areas. And then we also have the private roof decks. So they could come back, and so far they said, great, this looks good. Why don't you reduce the spiral stair spaces and maybe not put doors on the elevator corridors? They could also come back and say, you know what, nice try, but we're going to take the roof decks, the private roof decks off because for whatever reason. So this is the same plan except with the common spaces, but the private roof decks. It's not what we want. Our client has paid us a lot of money to provide explanation why we want the roof decks, but ultimately, this is an appeal, and we go and see what we can do. It does provide the amenity trace, terraces and the common spaces. The next scheme comes back and says, well, for whatever reason, our plans examiner, maybe it's not a compelling enough case. When you go before the appeals, you're not there. They're basically hearing it by themselves, and you're somewhere else. So they could come back saying, you know what, it's a 5-1, it's a wood structure. No. So this is what we believe is the worst case. It's what I think staff is saying they wouldn't recommend. We wouldn't recommend it either. So if there's any chance, Hillary, if you can go across and request this, that'd be great. But it's pretty hard to argue life safety issues, aesthetic issues with them. So, I mean, they are there for life safety issues. So those are the three options that we are showing. Obviously, we hope to have the preferred option. And I have a quick runaround of the elevations. They are a little different from our last time. We have in the lower corner area what we had before. This is the full block arcade along Burnside. The windows are larger in our new scheme. That's due to us venting through the roof instead of the exterior wall. On average, before we had 7 to 8 foot wide windows. Now they're 9 feet. The design is simpler. It's lighter in color. Instead of the four colors down below, we now have three colors. We've added the horizontal box rib, not only below the windows and above the windows, but it's also the same material that we're using for the screen for the mechanical up above. David, last time we were here, you asked for it'd be interesting to have the squint test. If you were to kind of look at more of a black and white version, we started doing that and we did it for all of them because it really kind of shows in a black and white, it emphasizes the depth and texture. So this is what it would look like if we had a black and white version. This is looking around at street level at Burnside and MLK. This would be the same view, except bird's eye view at the same location. You can see the full length of the arcade and the stormwater area and the bulb out. This is the grand elevation showing the relocation of our entry gasket mid-block. I think that addresses some of the concerns before that our elevation was too long. We removed, obviously, the vehicle garage doors. It has a simpler color palette, but the scale is broken down since we have the entry mid-block somewhat further up. So to the left of it, we have retail, and to the right of it, we have our lobby and live-work. The squint test again, showing the depth of the decks and the recessed window area. This is a street perspective from Burnside and Grand. It kind of shows in contrast, you can see all three corners. We show a solid corner on the Burnside and MLK as you enter in. We have kind of an eroded corner at this area, the deck, because we're trying to lighten up the arcade. This is where we have the lowest height due to the grade level of the arcade. And then you can see the very corner at the next one, we have a solid. So we wanted to have an expression of change at every corner as we go walk around. More of a bird's eye view. You can get a better idea of the active streets, terrace up above with the passive urban gardening also occurring. This elevation probably is the most updated one, changed the most, the couch elevation, since it shows the vehicle garage entry with glazed garage doors. We have brought the decks over. They're similar to the ones that we have on Burnside. They're expressed over the garage entries. And the recommendation last time, I think, David Wark, you mentioned it, bringing the metal plate. And again, it's metal plate comes up. Maybe you can show, Eric, where that breaks down. How far it goes up. It comes up to that level, then we go with the typical composite metal there. But it's a metal plate. Obviously, it's great for graffiti, but bringing that down to the street level.
And David, to answer your earlier question, it's the same on the columns. It goes up to the first level.
About 100 feet further back into the center of the block is the north courtyard. It's a significant changes, relocating the western stairwell to the center of the block, instead of along MLK. We removed the Juliets and provided larger windows and a simpler color palette. The squint tests for all those. Again, the corner view at the street level of Burnside, excuse me, at Grand and Cooch. You can see it again, the solid corner, and as it kind of wraps around, introduces the decks. Gwen, last time we talked quite a bit about it. You can see the previous one, we didn't have enough windows there. This pretty much maximizes all our windows, larger windows, and it again introduces that solid corner and one corner, eroded corner, and then another solid corner. So this corner is similar to our Burnside corner. Again, it's a solid face as you kind of come down the couplets, Burnside and Cooch being the main couplets. And then a bird's eye view looking at that and how that metal skin of the decks kind of brings it, comes down all the way down to the garage entries. Last elevation, MLK elevation, kind of shows additional windows and larger windows than we previously had. It removes and shows the relocation of the recessed staircase. You don't see it here because it's set back. This is our location of our bike storefront lounge. It's kind of, this is a good case that we really wanted to make it visible on MLK. It's going to be treated as, has flat screen in there, it's inviting, it connects into the corridor area. Just a little visual of what it's going to be. We're still working on it, but it's going to be, I can't call it a man cave, it's a bike cave. It's going to have a flat screen, repair, vending machines for both food and bike equipment. It's going to be a visible area that we want to see and we want to publicize. It also has an opportunity to have a mezzanine up above for more recreation. And then it's hard to read, but we have a little bike frame chandelier. So we're taking, you know, if you see some bike frames, it's, I'm not saying that we got a lot of our ideas from Hopworks having a beer, but it's a good place to start. Started the ball rolling. Yeah. This is the Western Courtyard elevation, about 100 feet back from MLK, the right of way. In the center of the block, you can see, the larger windows, the loss of the Juliets. The squint test for the MLK elevation. This is looking essentially at the front door. If we were at the front door of Block 75 walking out there, this is what you would see. The building in the forefront is Central City Concerns building. And if we were floating way above their building, this is what you would see up above. So again, knowing that buildings are, you know, taller, we had paid extra attention to the roofscape. And then our end walls are just a simple palette of the metal panel turning around for a future canvas for something that can happen.
So we spent a good portion of the last design review hearing talking about the location of the garage door in relation to the property line. I'm happy to tell everyone that through negotiations with PBOT, we now are able to get a garage door right at the building face or slightly recessed. So,
yeah, I'm sorry we don't have another 45-hour discussion with PBOT on this.
So a little bit of backstory. This parcel right here, this quarter block, is being purchased from Central City Concern. One of the criteria is all the program that's currently on this on this parcel that's being displaced has to be relocated into our facility. As such, we needed to provide two separate vehicular access points, this one for our residents, this one for Central City Concern's program. This is a facility that has multiple uses, one of which is a sobering facility on the backside, and then also a counseling facility with short-term housing upstairs. This space in here, and we can see it a little bit more over here, serves as a staff parking for Central City Concern, but also loading and unloading of their clients and patients. There are several different security and privacy-related issues that we had to accommodate. There are existing access points that we had to keep. What this access up here being for their counseling program, this access being for their sobering facility. We were able to negotiate with PBOT not to recess these garage doors because this is the primary admittance and discharge location for Central City Concern. And we all felt, with that in mind, having darker recessed areas where people tend to linger was not ideal. So we were also able to negotiate with PBOT to extend this curb cut. It previously stopped right about here, extending it over to address queuing concerns that they had. Now we've got an 18-foot sidewalk, I believe, here. That will be enough to queue a car in either ingress or egress positions. It also helps enhance sight lines. And to talk a little bit more about Central City Concern and the program that this facility houses, we have Andy Shaw with Central City Concern here to speak a little bit.
Thanks, Eric. My name is Andy Shaw. I'm the Director of Housing with Central City Concern. So I'm here to speak a little bit about our building, the program that it houses, and also just to reiterate our support for the project and kind of talk a little bit about kind of our standing as a community partner to the project and also as a seller of one of the parcels. So in terms of the security and privacy concerns, this particular building called Genie Rivers Building houses two different programs, one of which is the Multnomah County CATSE Center. It's the Multnomah County Crisis Assessment and Treatment Center that basically it's a secure hold facility that when people are in mental health crisis, the county reaches out and places a hold on such individuals up to 16 days. And also houses Central City Concerns Sobering Center, in which we have, you might see our Cheers van around town that picks up people who need a temporary place to sober up for 4 to 6 hours. So privacy and security and ease of access are our primary concern, and I think the existing design really helps get us there. Secondly, in terms of the parcel sale to the developer, my understanding is that in the organization's history, we've never sold any land or building. This is really the first occurrence. And one of the reasons why we're doing this is we're currently building a few affordable housing complexes, and the proceeds will just go towards those particular projects to house those folks who are most in need. So our intention is really to be here for the long term as a neighbor to this project. And because of the public safety purpose of this building, we don't foresee that we will leave this particular building for the foreseeable future, in the long term future. So that's about it.
Thanks.
That pretty much wraps it up for our presentation. We'll go from here.
Okay, thanks. If you're here as a member of the public and would like to testify about this project, you're welcome to do so. There are yellow forms in the back of the room. You fill them out, give them to Amy, our clerk. She'll hand them to me, and I'll call you up in the order you've arrived, this or any other project on our agenda tonight. But first, questions for the applicants. I've got several, but if someone else wants to start. Okay, I'll throw some out there. So can you walk, just real quick, take another look at the fixtures in the arcade? I was just wondering about the doubling up. It looked like you had some can fixtures and then sort of a pendant. Yeah. So, sorry, is the pendant doing both uplighting and downlighting? Or is that just a...
Chances are, the majority of it's doing uplighting,
okay,
because you don't really get a lot of bounce light. But you know,
we're still looking at that. The majority of the direct light down lights providing it down on the street. Uh-huh. But we do want to eliminate that room, so it's more like a chandelier.
Okay. And have you guys done any like nighttime renderings to see what that looks like?
Pardon?
Have you looked at any nighttime renderings of the arcade, like what that looks like?
Let's talk about the PBOT thing.
Okay. Let's go right to PBOT. Yeah.
No, we could.
What is the soffit made out of, too? What's the red? Is that?
It's likely going to be either a metal panel or a resin-based product.
All right.
But let's talk about the lighting.
Yeah, I just got an email from the lighting division on PBOT today. With the arcade, we're having to remove one of the mid-block street lamps. And they do have... We're working very closely with them to make sure that there's enough light provided on the sidewalk. We've been able to prove through a lighting analysis that there will be enough light on the streets. Mm-hmm. And just this morning, we were able to prove just with those fixtures that we'll have enough spread under the sidewalks as well, but we'll be supplementing lights within the arcade to meet whatever lighting criteria PBOC comes back with as well.
Okay. Did you have something, Commissioner Walker?
Speaking of PBOT, have you considered moving? No, just kidding. we had a conversation with them last time. I think you were here. We talked about the bulb outs at the southeast corner too. Did you have a conversation with them about that?
Yeah, let's call that up.
On the southeast?
Yes.
Let's go. Is it in or the one you were talking about the? What was I didn't know if it was there. Is that out as far as the other one?
No.
That's what I meant.
This was as far as we were able to.
Because of the turning radius?
Turning radius and the extension of this and the redesign of this, we tried to limit it to the loss of one parking stall.
Oh, okay.
That was what everyone determined to be palatable.
So to answer your question, David,
it's sort of in between.
Okay. There you go. Right. They wanted nothing. We wanted a full one.
It's something.
We cut the baby.
Good. And then, all right, so it's partial success on that. All right, good.
It's a bulb out.
Yeah, right. These are really picky things because I think the building has really progressed significantly, and so these are teeny little things for the most part, but they just kind of stuck out, the conversation with PBOT about the two driveways being separate versus closer together, is this the better option? I really don't know enough about it, but since they're separate, I thought I'd ask a question.
Yeah, so we spent the better part of the last 2 months negotiating the driveway location, how many curb cuts we have, where they occur, how close they are to the property line, and this is what PBOT determined to be acceptable. We just submitted a design exception request to have two curb cuts on this frontage, which it was just granted, but they did want to have it separated.
Okay. It seems like they're okay with it. I just didn't know what it did for, if people coming out and getting caught in between or if it's better to have it more contiguous, but...
We didn't want one large curb cut, and actually in between, we have a service, we've relocated our service gas meters in between, too, and they're kind of in a recessed panel, so yeah. We were encouraged by PBOT and everyone else to treat this. You have to have a back side of the building, service area, so that's where it is.
Sure. And that was my next question about the gas meters. Is there a way to kind of enclose those instead of having them out?
They're recessed back. Let's go.
No, I understand that, but they're still visual and... Yeah. I know. It's like these two Yeah.
I think it's a little misconceiving. I think the scale is a little bit off on the renderings, but they no, go back. Oh, Yeah.
Well, more and more those are being kind of put inside like gas meter closets, so to speak. I don't know.
We have.
I know, David, you did that on your project, right? Not to make you a poster boy for that, but.
I stole it from our house.
Right.
Yeah, our house.
Right.
So we are kind of up against, we have to provide so many parking spaces in this facility here for Central City Concern, and we're right up against that.
Is there any way to put a screen in that face?
I don't believe in the current configuration there is, and maintaining the airflow in front that the natural gas has been asking for.
Will it be perforated or something?
Yeah. We can go back and ask natural gas to tighten up or reevaluate their criteria and see if we can fit something in there.
Okay.
But this back wall is about as far back as we can push it.
And actually, David, you're bringing up issues that the site is changing from an auto-centric zone to pedestrian.
Right.
And most of the issues we've been dealing with, you know, vaults, PBOT, BES, it's ongoing utility issues.
Right.
And is that going to be many? Is that a big manifold with like
it must
10
be.
Meters?
No, there's right now we're assuming three.
Three?
Yeah.
No, the retails aren't going to all have separate?
No, right now we're assuming one for the primary building, and then two of the retail spaces will have them, the two planned restaurant food service-based spaces.
Does each apartment unit have gas? Or
no.
Or no, it's all electric?
Yes.
Okay. And then the size of the louvers, I guess it's page 61 for the south elevation. And the finish of those louvers, they kind of look like they're not, like they're a different finish from the storefront, or are they the same, or?
Yeah, they'll be painted to match the storefront.
Okay, all right. And then, so if you go to the south elevation, as those seemingly get pretty large above the entryways, are they really going to be that? I mean, you don't need them that large. Is it partial metal panel above a louver, or?
So part of our mechanical is design build. So we've allotted space for those retail tenants. They're probably not going to be that large. We've tried to create a consistent language along that frontage so that they would be there, but we could look at potentially decreasing the height.
So will the louver be, I mean, if you take the far right one at the uppermost elevation, is that, that's a pretty standard dimension more?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And then that could be a kind of a consistent element. And then what would be between just a metal panel or something?
Yeah,
or would you
I think we continue a metal plate or a metal panel so it looks like a storefront system and just make the louver as whatever it needs to be.
Curious.
I think we had initially just assumed that we would fill the whole panel with a louver just to keep it consistent
and
above each of these recesses.
Louver
exactly.
And,
yeah.
Okay. Okay, and then I think we want to discuss the deck dimension because I guess with 4'8" is what you've got now, and that was outside of
that's
the edge of the deck, so there's a railing, and so
that's 4'8" clear between railing and face of exterior finish.
Okay, I don't know if your dimensions showed that. Okay.
So just while we're on this image, what's going to be the hot water room? Is it the two tallest?
We have a freight elevator that we're taking. It's got a larger overrun, and the elevators that we're specifying have taller cab heights, so that's dictating the height of the top part here. The hot water heater room that we have adjacent to it, we set at the same height to unify that element.
So that's just coming up beneath the
elevator driving the height of that. The roof on the on the hot water heater room will be lower, and there'll be some equipment up on there as well. But the height will screen it all. We're looking at a machine roomless one, but the overrun height, they needed the additional height. It does. Yeah.
What's the gauge of the metal plate that you're talking about sheathing the pillars and the back side of the wall? Did they say?
The columns?
Steel plate.
Yeah, it's thick.
It's pretty thick, yeah.
Quarter inch, 3/16.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's
heavy duty. All right.
Substantial.
Yeah. And then I just had a kind of jumping around again.
I was looking at 112, the parking scheme. I was hoping you could walk me through the central city side of it. It just looks really tight, and I wasn't sure if you were showing a drive aisle or a standing and stopping aisle for the emergency vehicles or what. I mean,
so this has been vetted by multiple people.
But it's a good story to tell.
Yeah. Well, I guess tell me the story anyway, because I don't understand how it works.
So this will facilitate parking for Central City Concern, and I believe some of Multnomah County and their mm-hmm. staff members as well. Mm-hmm. It also facilitates the dropping off and picking up of clientele and patients. So on the side here, they've got their standard parking. This is, I believe, a 22-foot drive aisle, so it's a little larger than what the minimum city requirements are.
Okay.
Down here, they have their own trash area here.
Yeah.
And then there's the turnaround area for the police vehicles. Ambulance vehicles, when they are needing to be accessed in here, will have to turn out, back out and go this way. We have also put a request in with PBOT, and they, I believe, are in support of this for one on-site or on-street loading facility for emergency vehicles. That's something that Central City Concern had requested.
Okay.
For ambulances, they are seeing higher volume of people coming in and out of here.
Okay.
But we've asked them several times, and this configuration works for them.
And is trash pickup happening down by the Blue Star in the middle, or is it happening actually at the curb?
Trash would need to be wheeled out for here, out to here.
Okay. And then, not to torture you, but can you kind of walk us through what the issues that BES and the fire marshal are having with the roof? I can imagine, but I I didn't want to surmise.
Do you like the long story or the short story?
Probably the short story first, and we can ask you some more questions if we need it.
So with our construction type, we're using the prescriptive code guide for non-fire retardant treated lumber. As such, the occupancy associated with an occupied roof is not allowed in that code guide, so we have to appeal that. Along with that, which they've said that they would consider, and they've given us criteria over the last 9 months, which we've been incorporating. And then after each iteration that we go through with design review staff and you guys, we've been talking with them, and they've been amending that criteria and adjusting it. So I think we've figured out a way to get the occupied roof up there. It's boiling down to little details, as Bob mentioned, about do we have a door on the elevator lobby? How large can these penthouses be? And then how do we separate and assign occupant loads and define the occupant area for these roof areas? So those are the last few little details. I think we've got to a point where they will they'll allow the roof. An occupied roof is just the little details on that the final configuration and how much it is.
Okay.
And that's what we're asking. We're, you know, the devil's in the details for them.
Mm-hmm.
They may be reduced because of occupant load, but we don't want that to hold up this process here. That, you know, we are going to have these activities, hopefully. We are being told that can be accommodated, but again, we go before appeal,
mm-hmm.
and it's ultimately BDS that determines how far we go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And sorry, so BES, so the fire life
safety.
BDS, okay,
yeah.
Sorry. Maybe this is a question for Hillary. I mean, is that the kind of thing that if we say we agree with you and say, yeah, page 60 isn't good for us either, and, you know, fire life safety comes back and says, well, sorry, no one's on the roof, can they do a type 2 then? Or how does that play out?
Yeah, sometimes it is a follow-up type 2. If it's just a matter of maybe shrinking the occupied areas a little bit, it's possible it could be approvable, a permit.
So why are they saying you can't have a lot of projects are having roof decks, two exits off of 5-1?
They're saying the plans examiner, just as a staff person would say coming before design review, this looks good. This is how I'd write your case,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately you go before the appeals board, as you would be coming before the design review board, and they ultimately decide. So we're trying to have the best case possible. We're listening to what their concerns would be, reducing the square footage of these things. But again, we go before the appeal board and we see where it turns out.
There's a, but the appeal is just for the spiral stair part, isn't it?
No.
No,
it's for the actual occupancy up on the roof. It's because we're proposing to go with the prescriptive code guide for non-fire retardant treated lumber, which applies just to our occupancies, not B or A occupancies. As such, we have to appeal to get that occupancy up on the roof, which they have been approving in the past. Now, just getting down to the details on how do you exit, how big is the space, how do you define the space.
We feel positive we're going to get the majority of that. There may be some tweaks. Yeah. But again, this kind of brings back 3 months ago when we had PBOT discussing with BDS, and we're kind of left out. We feel like, again, the parents are fighting and we're the kids. Mm-hmm. And we just it's bureau against bureau, and we just say, this is what we'd like to do, and hopefully, if it's approved, and we have indications from our plans examiner, the majority of it's going to be approved, that's where we go. But we don't know ultimately what the decision is going to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other questions?
I just had one other one, I believe. And it was that southwest corner. The upper areas, just hold it there for a second, sorry. Every part where you've got your white metal panel composition kind of has a beginning and end, and it, all the other corners where it kind of turns the corner. But at this one, if the southwest corner, if you're going to go to the other elevator, or actually the perspective would be better. Yeah.
I'll let you take that.
And I know why you did that, where you broke the kind of the white rectangle from the other white rectangles to kind of give emphasis to the arcade?
Yes.
But it's an anomaly relative to all the other...
It is. It's also, the arcade is an anomaly, too.
Sure, sure.
And so it really comes up as you drive through. We really wanted to have the largest expression over the arcade. And I think let's just go back.
Well, I wonder if the arcade, the other end of the arcade is expressed with balcony?
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, is there the potential to put a balcony there? Or
we did our original idea. We had some.
I think you had it there.
We had that, but we really wanted to kind of bring the glass and have more of a solid front. And what we were talking about before, having a solid entry or solid corner at this one, then expressing it differently on the other side. So we ultimately took the deck out. We wanted to have that glass up in front. Hopefully the lights are always on, and the glass length extends right over the arcade. We wanted to express that lightness over the arcade. And so we actually enlarged it. That window is different from, actually it's very similar to the gasket that we have on our entry. So sure. It's a change.
Yeah.
So
it makes sense at the entry.
We think it makes sense because we took the same details, the same proportion, and brought it over here.
Right.
Because it really is an entry. The major entry as you come across the Burnside Bridge into this area. I think we heard a lot from don't be shy, this is your gateway into that. We thought, let's express the arcade in a way that shows the lightness. So we have that as a gateway to the project, and then the entry gasket, same details, lights, as we come in mid-block and grand.
Other questions? I have not been getting cards for this case from the public, so I'm assuming that no one is here to testify on this particular matter, if I am wrong.
Do you guys have any questions for Andy with Central City Concern? Or?
No. I don't know. Just wanted to make sure the public was taken care of first. No questions for Andy? Just for Andy? Great. So in the absence of public testimony, I think we're ready to move on to deliberation. I know we spent a fair amount of time with this project, so... Sounds like we're getting down to some...
We have short discussion, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I brought up a couple things relative to the gas meters, and I just wonder if you could do a compact space at that end, make it a 7.6 wide or something to get yourself another foot that might then enable you to put something in there. And we can give you a on-the-spot modification for that smaller space. There's a parking space on the inside. If they made it smaller, they could gain a foot. They then get a little deeper, and right. I believe we can do that, can't we? Do we have the power?
It's, you're talking, David, about right there.
Yeah.
Right.
How far does it recess in?
It's our house. It's David, is there a door? Does the gas company open a door?
It's in like a very open
screen.
Wire mesh.
Right.
Heavy duty wire mesh.
Right.
You just read it
just
by looking through.
It's painted black.
They can open.
Metal,
they have to have a key.
Okay.
No, but if they
you know how much space was between the meter and then
you know the full pocket looked like 30 inches deep or something.
I think right now we're showing something that's in the 18 to 20 inch range, so
recessed in.
we could certainly look at that.
So if you I mean what that would be a something that we'd I would feel really much better about if you could have a screen there, because it is
a screen flush with the rest, and then whatever depth we can.
And then get that depth, and if you needed to make the parking space a little more compact size, then that would. I think you're probably going to need to have it compact anyway there to get into that space.
Well, that could be Andy's parking spot since he just left.
It looks really tight.
Yeah.
I mean.
So I don't know if everyone else kind of agrees with that.
Well, it'd be nice to see a screen there. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And
I think it's kind of an exceptional length of just kind of service stuff, garage,
all
that.
Right. Yeah.
Justify.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not feeling huge resistance to that. So any other issues?
Just discussion on the element, huh? The porch depth, is 4.8 clear. Mm-hmm. It's a little better than 4.8 out. But
I really appreciate the team's comment about just about the depth of those. It's kind of a push pull. There's like a fine balance between having to sit up and do something. They make the units dark. You know, they're kind of all the way across.
Yeah, when they're too deep. Yeah.
So it's
I think we're just talking about whether it's 4.8 or 5. I mean, what is it? What difference is that really?
I think it's
probably okay. Inch through. What? There's not a detail on your railing. What is that? Or I didn't find one. Is there a railing detail? Is that it up there?
Yeah, that'd be the plate. It's a McNichols aluminum. Yeah. Face mounted.
Is that just painted?
Yes.
And then my only other, I guess two things. The size of the louvers on that, you know, if it's all louver, is that okay with everybody? And just part of it will be an actual louver? And
yeah, it's like, what do you want more of, right?
Yeah, right.
It's either all louver or it's louver and metal panel, right? You're not replacing it with...
But the only other thing, another option is to make the louver and put glass under it.
Under it, right. Yeah,
right.
You'd have lights.
It would be another way to do that. Is there a reason why it has to be all solid?
I think it's back to what Eric was talking. We thought less is more. Just have a really clear material. So since it's design build, we don't know how big, but at least we know the louver. If we can kind of detail it so it's similar to the storefront.
If it's a similar color as the storefront, it pretty much goes away. It's a lot of glass there already.
Yeah, it's probably okay.
And then that southwest corner, if I'm the only one that is bringing up a question about it, the upper level and the difference in composition relative to,
I think Bob made a good point about holding the corner, you know, and with the glass and clarity of that as opposed to a dark shadow of a patio, you know?
I don't think a patio is the deck is the answer. But it just leaves that one kind of white rectangle hanging out there.
Oh, are you talking about maybe just continuing the white around the corner?
Just around, I don't.
And not having the black.
That's what it does every other corner. Glass, should that corner,
reduced.
Is that corner, is that really doing what, architecturally, what you think it's doing, or is it?
Just so a comparison, we'll show the gas. Whoops.
Right.
Where are the other gas
So show the other corners, Bob.
There we go.
So, I mean, even though this is the corner, but this is
the northeast corner.
So you get the gasket there.
Right. Understood. But gasket is talking about the entry.
Entry. Understood.
Right. And those kind of are, they're larger blocks of that white metal panel system.
Let's go to the other elevation that kind of shows.
Yeah, that corner.
Yeah.
There. So
go back to the other corner.
That's the other end of the presentation.
No, he wants to the north.
Where your finger out here.
That one.
Yeah.
It just holds the corner really strongly to me. Yes. It just leaves, that's just my opinion, but.
I see your point, and we toyed with that, but we felt like, boy.
I like the idea of emphasizing.
We wanted something really, we didn't want to have a heavy element over the arcade.
Yeah.
And I just had a vision, we had a vision of just, boy, if all the lights are on, you have this extension of this, even though you'd have windows, but just this lightness over the arcade. Living over the storefront, living over the sidewalk.
You're also capturing a little bit more Western view. With all the windows? So when you kind of peel a little bit away,
all that's good stuff.
I know. I know what you're saying, though. I agree with you.
The end result is this thing hanging out there by itself.
We had a little joke in the office. We wanted to get rid of boxes, and we said no boxes, but planes, trains, and planes. And we like the lightness of this, mm-hmm. as opposed to another box. And so you're right. We do wrap around the different corners, especially at the end walls.
Right.
But here was we thought a very unique, and it's kind of expresses because on the other side, on the the grand side is the deck. So there's a lightness that kind of goes all across the arcade, even though it does have that white metal panel sticking out.
Wrong to have the white frame close around? Would it just be wrong to have the white frame just close off that black, have the white parapet extend across and the white kind of datum line at the bottom, and then that's it, right? You'd still have a different window pattern,
It's inside that, yeah.
And Dave, we did look at it. We said, let's take the white across there, the white across there, and that would be the difference because we like the idea of adding more windows above there. So that would be the only detail difference, but we like the idea of the black kind of weaving through and kind of stitching the whole site together. So
you already have that with the horizontals, I think. I understand what you're saying. It's a choice thing, and
Okay.
I don't know. What do other commissioners feel strongly about this, or?
I have a personal preference, but it feels personal. It's coherent.
Okay.
And I agree. I think it does accentuate the entry to that heading east.
I agree. It does that. Yes.
And I think those would be nice rooms to be in, like you say, to the views back to the west.
Right. I wouldn't change the pattern of the window.
No.
Okay.
I was trying to find it. I did find the detail for the. I was wondering if you were providing an extra tall parapet or something on that elevator open. I can't find the elevation.
Mine's a bit better.
It may not be in there.
It looks like
I believe the elevator cab we've got is a 9 or 10 foot cab, and they needed a 5 or 6 foot overrun, so that pushes it up 16 feet.
So it's an extra tall cab.
Yeah.
That's for moving.
Yeah.
It's a 10 foot tall cab.
It's either a 9 or 10. I can't recall. It's 9 or 10.
Unlike our previous design, it's set back away from the parapet now, so it is not along the face.
Okay. Anything else for discussion? The elevator room.
Look at a traction elevator where it's not. There is no hoistway on top. It just literally ends like 2 feet above the cab top.
Machineless.
Yeah.
That's we've been looking at the Kone's, and this is off of their requirements. So.
Really? Oh, because you're going up to okay.
Schindler makes much tighter at the top.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, we can certainly look at that, and it's. Yeah. We agree. It is.
With a 7 stop?
I'm sorry?
7 stops?
Yeah, I think it's up to 9 or something, 10 maybe.
Our preference would be to keep that as low as possible.
Sure.
but
okay.
within the constraints of the manufacturer.
Yeah. Right.
And I assume if you guys don't get your, don't aren't allowed to occupy that, that won't go up there at all.
Right.
That whole thing will just stop at the floor below.
Right.
Just bring one stair up at that point, or?
Likely, yeah, just one.
But we hope if we're just discussing door lengths now that at least we're beyond that, but we'll see.
Okay. Other points of discussion, things that are keeping commissioners from feeling good about voting just now?
I like Bob's squint test.
I know. We were just talking about that over lunch. Yeah, that's good.
I got it for
yeah,
you.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's all right.
That might be some applicants
coming forward.
It's the first time I've seen that. It's really good.
Yeah. Came up at lunch, didn't it? Yeah. Doing exactly that. Yeah. So what I'm hearing so far is that we want something to happen with a gas meter, some sort of screening, setting back. That feels, I know that there's, you know, air exchange and all that we have to worry about it, but it feels like something that could be conditioned. I'd hate to have them come back over a gas meter.
Oh, for the roof stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. No, the ground floor gas meter. The gas meter.
Oh, yeah.
No, concealer. Porch depth, did we decide that we're okay. Louver, we're okay. Southwest corner, you're letting it go.
It's really? One of those things I can't look around it, you know, it's just right in my face.
Okay, so are you going
to live with it
for the sake of the public safety? Are you going to drive through this intersection with your eyes closed because of that one place? Because that's the case, I'm going to ask them to extend the white across the top.
Have to go over to the Wentworth and
okay.
You're going to put a bar down below. You'll be okay.
Yeah, or a visor on. Right.
Okay. Right. Okay, just want to check and make sure you're going to be able to live with that. I mean, I'm not saying you have to vote yes. I'm
going
to do
something bad to myself.
Okay. All right. Yeah, all right.
Or anyone else.
Okay. And then it sounds like there may be a friendly amendment on looking at alternate elevators. Do we want to insist that they get an elevator with not such a big of a run, or is this something
no,
that's
I
like...
I believe that with the applicant staff.
Okay.
But I really think it's going to... I mean, it shows up in all the images.
Yeah.
I think it's really going to be unfortunate. Based on how well the buildings turned out, it's just going to be an unfortunate mass up there because it's not that tall of a building.
And you know, it is pulled back. For instance,
you'll still see it.
All sorts of views on
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
Building.
Yeah.
It'll just be this big structure that has unknown origin.
It can't be worse than the east side stuff on top of that.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. True.
And that's way taller.
Maybe it'll draw attention away from that.
Is that eight stories?
East side is only six, I think.
What?
I think it's the same height.
Is it the same height?
I think so.
It's about, yeah. And there'll be a tower in front of this.
Yeah. Okay, great. So is there anything else that needs to be discussed, or can we move on to wrapping up? Let's wrap it up. Okay, so great. I think what we need to do is, I just wanted to say, by the way, thank you very much for working so hard on this building. I know that you've come quite a long way from where you started 9 months ago, both in terms of the design and then also sort of your understanding, if we could put it that way, of all the forces pushing on this site from all the different bureaus' perspectives. I know you're not completely done, but I understand how hard this is and glad that you've stuck with it. Any other commissioners want to pile on?
In the last 7 years of being on this commission, this is the biggest jump from beginning to the finished product.
Mm-hmm.
Any project that I've seen in a positive way.
Yeah.
So, first iteration to this, but it's a very long way and it's much improved. It looks great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think you've got a lot of extremely positive aspects to this. I mean, I really like the, because we see this often, a bike room on the first floor and actually making it something
interesting,
very Portlandish.
Yeah,
you know, we haven't seen that
cool.
before. So the kind of bike cave, put it instead of man cave, you know. But I do agree. This has come light years from where it was, as the kind of wavy kind of canopy that somehow made its way up to the roof. It's kind of grown up in a way, and I think it's sophisticated in many ways. The ground floor is excellent with all of the arcade and how that's going to operate. I can envision it just being, you know, a magnet for people along Burnside. It continues that pattern that
is encouraged by the code, which is good. You took advantage of that because it does make, I think, a very unique first floor in our city along that avenue. So this is the longest one, which is, I think, is excellent too. I think it's really great. And the composition, with the exception of that one corner, is really refined and excellent also. So good job.
Couldn't resist. Okay. Unless there's anything else that needs to be said, if another commissioner wants to add to that, I would entertain a motion. What I heard was... gas meters and examination of the choice of elevator and its overrun. Those are the two things that I heard as sort of friendly.
I do have weird stuff. I have
modifications.
The two PBOT conditions of approval, which could just be incorporated in through this document dated December 3rd.
Okay.
They've seen them. Yeah. They're official comments from PBOT that were not included in the staff report. So.
And what is it, incorporation of those or response to those, or what's the, do we have to, inclusion of those?
We have to read them.
So I think it would be saying something to the effect of approve the staff report as written with the two friendly amendments and the inclusion of PBOT's two conditions of approval as outlined in their letter of December 3rd. Okay. I'm getting the high sign from Tim, so I think I did it right. Pretty soon I'll be able to make these motions and you guys can.
And then my other weird thing was the second alternate. I don't know if you want to approve that or.
The roof alternates?
Yes. Yeah.
Do we want to exclude page 60, which was the vacated roof, nobody in it, or leave it?
Well, isn't the we're fine with either of the first two?
Either the two
other
versions,
is a code issue, right?
Well, okay. Relative, I mean, not saying that they would do this, but if we approve all three,
right,
they could just do the third one without.
Well, I think the
further
clarity of the condition has to be that BDS notifies Hillary that they can't do it. Right? So BDS would have to say you can't do the deck in order to go to that option, right?
Can we that's something I will be watching now that I know that it's a life safety issue.
So I guess what Commissioner Work is trying to say is, can we say we would only approve of page 60 being built if there were no other alternative occupied.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, you guys want to do it as an amenity. Right?
Yeah, we do.
So the incentive is there.
Of course,
right.
Yeah.
But you're right. You could say, well, we need a VE now, and we're going to take all that. So,
yeah.
Alternate 2, is that labeled as alternate 2?
Right.
So you approve alternate 2 if no other option is available. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
That's what it sounds like. Or,
yeah. Well, basically, if they're not allowed to do...
If no occupancy is allowed.
The ones that are the preferred schemes.
I was in my offer to read this.
It's a hard one. This is a chunky motion.
Oh, you're not going to do the motion now?
Okay, so somebody over there needs to deliver.
Okay, so what are the things again? No, just kidding. Well, we can't do it, Bob. We just don't know how. Can't help you.
I need somebody to do a motion that has...
I get everything else. It's just this.
Okay.
So you're talking about the roof ones, Dave? Rooftop ones.
Okay. Only if rooftop occupancy is not allowed by life safety division.
There we go.
Right. We're okay.
We would only
with...
allow alternate 2 if occupancy were not allowed
right.
on the roof at all.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to
turn on my mic. I'd like to make a motion to accept the staff report as written, recommending approval with the following two friendly amendments. No, one friendly amendment. one condition that the gas meters have some sort of a gate over the face of them. And a friendly amendment to look at the elevator overrun for opportunities for reducing the height of that penthouse component. And also requiring the inclusion of the two requirements in PBOT's letter dated December 3rd. And we would approve alternate 2 for the rooftop decks if occupancy was not allowed by life safety review. Only if.
Do I have a second?
Jeez.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Kellner. That was a heavy lift. Anyone can you call roll?
Aye.
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 Congratulations and good luck with your project.
Thank you.
Thank you.